Completely different thing to understand, to feel how he loves. It's a completely different universe to know and to feel. So the goal tonight is maybe we can feel it a little more than we've ever felt it. And maybe we'll understand it, Krishna's heart, in new and different ways, which can transform our relation with him in some ways. And from my own experience, will definitely transform our japa, because bhakti is all about reciprocation. And the more you understand the love you're receiving, the more you want to reciprocate. Hare Krishna.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallava Giribhar Dhari. Vallabha Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Hera Yamuna Tira Banachari Gaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Sri Radha Madhava ki ye, Srila Prabhupada ki je, Tai go premanande. Ma om Vishnu padaya Krishna prashtaya bhutale, Shrimate bhakti vedanta shami, tinamane namaste sarasvati deve, gauravani pacharine, nirvisesha shunyavadi paschati rasatarine. Srila Prabhupada ki je. So, Friday night I was at Krishna house. And maybe I opened my big mouth in a way I shouldn't, but I said, this class, if my computer turns on. Yeah, I said, this class will probably be the best class I've ever given or will ever give in my life. So now I have to deliver on that, yeah. And well, what I would say is, it may not be the best class I ever give because I may give it again. And, you know, every time you give it, maybe it'll be even better. Hare Krishna. So, this is, this class is going to, basically it's going to analyze Krishna's heart, Krishna's nature, and how Krishna loves us. Because we all understand Krishna loves us. I mean, he's giving us everything. But sometimes we feel like maybe we're not worthy of his love, or we don't understand why he would love us and understand how he loves us, or something gets in the way of being able to receive it fully.
And by understanding Krishna's nature, we can overcome that. And also, sometimes we feel like, well, you know, I don't even like myself that much. I can't imagine that God would like me. Anyone ever feel like that? Yes. So when you understand Krishna's nature, God's nature, then you understand he doesn't, you don't have to earn his love. You don't, there's nothing you can do to get it. He just gives it. It's yours. And not because you're good, or not because of you, not because of me, but because of him. So it's nothing to do with us. He gives us love because that's what he does. And I think the best way to understand this, just to start this discussion, is to see Krishna or God like a parent, because a parent loves their children, even when their children are rascals or they don't do what the parent says or they have some unlovable, so-called unlovable feature. The parent always loves them, always accepts them, no matter what. Krishna's like that. So if we think, well, I've done so many bad things, so many sinful things, I've turned my back on Krishna, all of that, why would he love me? Just put it in the context of, we do all those things to our parents, and those of us who are parents, they're done to us, and the love doesn't stop. That's Krishna's position. So it's not based on our qualification. There's nothing we have to do to deserve his love. It's automatically there. So whatever you could possibly think as a reason Krishna wouldn't love you, there is no valid reason, because that's our thinking, but it's not his thinking. So we have to think from his position. And another beautiful thought also, once we go through this and we see how much Krishna loves us, the conclusion is, think of yourself, see yourself as he sees you. Because if we think of ourselves as we see ourselves, we see so many things wrong. Krishna doesn't see anything wrong. He only sees the good. See yourself as God sees you. That's a whole different way of looking at yourself. He sees us with love, so you see yourself with the same love he sees you. If you have trouble accepting yourself or being compassionate or being loving, you can bypass that whole world of how to deal with that and all the past conditioning just by giving yourself the same love Krishna gives you and seeing yourself the way he sees you. Okay. Jiva Goswami says, Jiva Goswami is a, for those of you who don't know, he lived about 550 years ago. He's considered one of the greatest philosophers, at least theologians. Jiva Goswami says, the very nature of divinity must be that it draws from the heart the deepest surrender, not by force, but by beauty, by natural attraction to God. And if that's not happening, if our conception of the divine is like it's all based on fear or guilt or shame, if it's not attracting us wholeheartedly and freely to love him, then it's not God that needs correcting. Oh, you know, we think God is, you know, he's a God who's going to punish us, and like maybe our parents punished us or whatever. It's not God that needs correcting, but it's our vision. He is irresistible, and due to our conditioning, we make him resistible. We resist his irresistible nature. So what we want to do today is see him as he is, not clouded by any ideas we have which are based on material vision. Does that sound okay? Are you ready for the journey? If we imagine God as unloving, or only loving based on certain conditions, like he will only love us if we do this or do that, he won't love us if we do that, this or that, then we start looking at ourselves thinking, well, if that's true, then I may be unworthy of his love. Maybe I'm unlovable. Maybe love is something I need to earn. Maybe I need to do something to get his love. Maybe I'll be punished if I don't act properly. Completely wrong. Krishna is not like that. We may think that way for so many reasons, but the nature of Krishna is very interesting because Krishna does not know how not to love. God does not know how to love. So if for some reason you think, well, God doesn't love me for some reason, it is impossible for him not to love you. He doesn't know how to do that because he is love. That's all he is. And he exists for love. And he exists to receive love and give love. And all he wants to do is give love to the world. He wants to give love to everyone who will accept it. Now, Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. And someone says, oh, that means he doesn't love everybody. No, he means he equally loves everyone. He says, I'm not partial. I don't love you and not, I don't hate you and love you. Just like if you're a parent, you'll say, I'm equal to all my children. That doesn't mean you don't love them. Are you partial to one? You like one and you don't like another? No, you love them all equally. So when Krishna says, I'm equal, I'm not partial, I don't hate anyone, he means I love everyone. Not that, oh, he's the one I don't love. Me, I must be the one he doesn't love because there's something wrong with me. Even if you think there's something wrong with you, it doesn't matter to him because he can only love you. He's the parent. He can only love you. That's foundational to this understanding. It's so important. Otherwise, we may have reasons that we think, why would he love me? You know, there's some, you know, like, I did so many bad things in my life and past lives, and I turned my back on him. Why would anyone love you if you turn your back on him? Back on them. In this world, they wouldn't, unless they're your parents. So that's the foundation. A God made of love cannot be anything but loving. Yes. A God made of love cannot be anything but loving. Yeah. Okay, I think that's clear. There's a word in the Bhagavatam, Suparna. So I think it's Suparna, the divine companion who never abandons us. And in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Da Suparna, Suyuja Sakaya. The Supreme Lord is so kind that upon the living entity, that he always accompanies the individual soul and in all circumstances is present as Supersolar Paramatma. In his unconditional affection, the absolute is equal and affectionate to all because he sees nothing as separate from himself. Sarva-bhutatma bhavena, the one who loves every being as his very self. Sarva-bhutatma bhavena. Can you say that? Sarva-bhutatma bhavena. One who loves everyone just as he loves himself. Wow. Is that beautiful? One. Krishna loves everything in his creation. We're in his creation. He loves everything in his creation as he loves himself. And we are part of that. There's nothing he doesn't love. Okay. So, what could possibly be the greatest spiritual tragedy ever? The greatest spiritual tragedy is to be infinitely loved by the Supreme and not believe it. To be infinitely loved and not believe it and have some reason concocted in our mind that we can't be loved by him when he actually does. So it's like someone says they love you and you say, you couldn't possibly love me. There's something wrong with me. How would you feel if you love someone and they said, you couldn't possibly love me? What would you think? How would you feel? So it is not our decision to decide whether God loves us or not. That's his decision, right? Like I could think he doesn't love me, but that's not up to me to decide. That's up to him to decide. And he already decided. As we said before, He couldn't not love us even if he tried. It's impossible. Is that beautiful? Yeah. Now, Bhagavad Gita, which is our main book, which we probably all read, and if you haven't read it, you can get a copy here, Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God. It's Krishna's words speaking. And I look at the Bhagavad Gita simply as an invitation book. And what is the invitation? In Bhagavad Gita, if you read every verse and want to ultimately extract the essence would be Krishna saying, I love you. Will you love me back? That's it. If you get that, you've got the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's the essence of it. And really, that's the essence, ultimately, of everything Krishna is saying. I love you. You're dear to me. You're my dearest. You're my son, my daughter. I love you. And all I want is you to love me back. So sometimes we give people a Bhagavad Gita, and they say, I'm not interested. Which is kind of a way of saying, I'm not interested in accepting God's love, and I'm not interested in giving it back. Bhagavad Gita is also an invitation. It's an invitation into a relationship and an invitation to come back home to him because he's waiting for us. Believe it or not, God, Krishna, wants us to come back. And believe it or not, he's waiting. Life after life, he's waiting for us. So if I offer someone, excuse me, sir, would you like to read this book? And it's a book about God and so forth. And they say, I'm not interested. Basically, consciously or unconsciously, they're saying, I'm not interested in going back to God. I have other things to do. I'm quite busy, important things. You know that feeling? I've got things which are more important than going back to God, more important than reciprocating with his love. But that's Bhagavad Gita. It's God's invitation to enter a relationship with him. And we're thinking, why would he want me to have a relationship with him? Because I'm just dirty. And he's got so many fantastic, amazing devotees that love him infinitely more than me. Why would he care about me? That is not for us to ask. That is the wrong question to ask. The question to ask is, how can I reciprocate with that love? Not, why would he love me? When we ask, why would he love me? How do you think Krishna feels? Krishna says, I love you. And go, really? Why? Why would you do that? Don't you know everything wrong with me? Krishna says, no, I'm not looking at what's wrong with you. Very, very important to understand how, I mean, think about it. This is bhakti. What does bhakti mean? Receive God's love and reciprocate. How are we going to reciprocate with that love if we don't even believe fully that we're loved? It's so simple, isn't it? And when I chant japa, sometimes all I'm doing is thinking, Krishna, you love me unconditionally. I don't love you unconditionally back. There's something wrong here. I want to catch up. I want to catch up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Can you help me? At least let me offer those mantras to you with love so I can, like, I'm trying to compete with your love. You give me so much. Can I offer you back? And I do something for you with love. That's all bhakti is. It's just basically, bhakti is us catching up with Krishna. Like, we can't really catch up, but we're trying. Okay. Now, this is something amazing. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is like, so now we're going to enter into like Krishna's heart, his mood, and see, you know, what's going on within his heart. It's so important to understand his heart. Like, you know, you have a relationship and your husband or wife says, you don't understand me. You don't understand how I feel. If you don't understand one another, a relationship doesn't work. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti is helping us understand Krishna's heart. The divine tenderness extends not only to our present condition, but also to our future. As Krishna declares through Vishwanath Chakravarti, because sometimes Vishwanath Chakravarti, these commentators, they speak as if they know God's mind and they're speaking God's mind. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, this great acharya, this great guru, is speaking for God. And this is what he says, Krishna would say. Others may feel gratitude only after receiving an offering, but I am grateful even for the gifts that will be offered in the future. And I reciprocate with those gifts before they are even given. Hare Krishna. That's God. He knows what you're going to do in the future, and he's already reciprocating with that before you do it. He knows what's in your heart. And something really beautiful, which we'll get to later, when you finally meet Krishna, and this is so important to understand, when you finally go back, it's important to understand now what Krishna's going to tell you when you meet him. When you go back, he's going to say, I know how hard it was for you. I know how much you struggled. I know all the difficulties you went through to try to come to me. And I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that.
Wow.
Because we might feel like, does Krishna even know? Does he even care? Sometimes it's like, why is it so difficult? Krishna, why are you making it so difficult on me? And he's saying, I know every difficulty. God knows every difficulty. And he's looking at you going, yes, you're trying. You haven't given up. Thank you. Thank you. So now we have a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Bhakiyam Stana Kalakutam, the story of the witch Putana who came to kill Krishna. So there was a witch who had poisoned her breasts, came to Krishna as a beautiful woman and said, can I breastfeed you? She was trying to kill him. Of course, most of us know the story. Krishna sucked her breast and sucked out her life. But what did he do? He said, because you came as my mother, even though you tried to kill me, I will give you the position of my mother eternally in the spiritual world. And then he said, what did he say? Here. Alas, this is from Bhagavatam. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than him? Lord Krishna, who granted the position of mother to the she-demon Putana, although she was faithless and had prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breasts. But, Prabhupada says, the Lord accepted the least qualification and awards him the highest reward. This is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? And then Prabhupada says that Krishna told Putana, I will be unlimitedly merciful to you. Not that you're just getting this mercy now. You will get this mercy forever, and it will increase forever. So the natural point that's made is this is what Krishna does to someone who is trying to kill him, what to speak of someone who's trying to serve him. And we're thinking, oh, Krishna doesn't like me, this and that, whatever crazy thought we're having. Think of this story. Krishna is showing unlimited mercy to someone who is his enemy. What to speak of someone who's his devotee? Hare Krishna. Yes. So Sanatana Goswami says, Krishna has a nature which is described as Nirupadhi Kripa Kulaya. He is overcome with unconditional compassion. He is filled, Sanatana Goswami says, filled with an abundance of causeless grace. And he wants, therefore, the highest benefit for those he blesses. He's got so much compassion. He wants the welfare of all he blesses. Yes. Okay. We don't have a lot of time, so I want to get to some very beautiful things. So, there is a book. Some of you know this book. It's called the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat Bhagavatamrita was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother right before he was leaving the world. She said, "You heard from Sukadeva Goswami, but I didn't hear. Would you speak to me what you heard?" So he spoke to her, and it has various stories. And one story is the story of a cowherd boy. His name is Gopa Kumar. Kumar means young. Gopa is a cowherd boy. And this is a story. One of the stories is his journey back to the spiritual world. And the most beautiful part, I think, of this story is when he finally goes back to the spiritual world. And what happens when he goes back? Because we all hear there's a spiritual world, but what actually, what happens, like, what's it like when you first get there, and how do you, like, acclimate and, like, make friends, and, like, how do you meet Krishna? And when you see him, like you're going to feel, like, guilty? Oh, my God, you're the person I've been trying to imitate, you know, for millions of lifetimes. And, like what am I supposed to say? And, you know, is my guru there? Does he, like, introduce me? And so this is where you understand Krishna's love more deeply than anywhere. So we're going to discuss this. So Gopa Kumar, he eventually makes it to the spiritual world. He finds his position. He knows who he is in relation to Krishna. And he goes there with his guru, and he sees Krishna. It's a whole story. It's a fantastic movie, and you could imagine. He sees Krishna in the distance, and Krishna's coming back, and the sunset, and the cows, and the dust is coming up, and there's Krishna, and Krishna sees Gopa Kumar, and Gopa Kumar sees Krishna. And what do you think happens? If you were producing this movie, how would you produce it? Running, slow motion, and very emotional music. Yeah. Krishna, Gopal, Govinda, Gopa Kumar. Yeah, it's like. Anyway, they embrace, they faint, and all that. And after that happens, this is what Krishna says. And what Krishna says here, we have to understand when we go to the spiritual world, this is what he's going to say to us. Believe it or not. Even if you think you're the number one rascal, the biggest sinner that ever existed in the universe, Krishna does not see you that way. This is what Krishna says. You may want to hold someone's hand. You might cry and faint. It is so beautiful. I'm serious. This is what Krishna says. Welcome, welcome. I am most fortunate, most fortunate. Wow. Krishna is in anxiety. Why is Krishna saying, I'm the most fortunate? Because Krishna has been waiting for us, life after life. And we finally come back. Little old us, who we think this useless person who has really no redeeming qualities that would attract God. He's saying, welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what? For turning towards me, for thinking of me. Wow. This longing of Krishna, he's almost impatient to offer his love. He wants to give his love to a devotee who has just arrived. We think we're trying to serve Krishna, and he's like, whatever, you know, keep trying. It's not like that. He's thinking of us, he's eager for a relationship, and he wants to serve us. This is what he says. My dear friend and darling, you have passed through many lifetimes without so much as a glance in my direction. Yet, I was always there. A fool, dancing with hope, thinking, perhaps in this lifetime, you will turn to me, or the next lifetime, or this, every lifetime, Krishna is thinking, perhaps, maybe, in this lifetime. Wow. Hare Krishna. Yet, I could find no excuse to bring you to my abode, my brother, while still upholding the eternal laws I myself have created. What are those eternal laws? Love must be voluntary. Somebody cannot love you if you force them. There's no relationship. And Krishna is made of love. And the only way he can relate to us is if he allows us to love freely, to make that choice. So Krishna is telling Gop Kumar, I wanted you to come, but I couldn't force you. I couldn't make you because that wouldn't be love. Now it gets really interesting. Really interesting. Sanatana Goswami reveals God's inner heart. So now Sanatana Goswami, another great guru, another great teacher, is speaking what he understands God is speaking. You never called my name, not even once in passing. Had you done so, I could have bent the rules and brought you to me. In other words, I need you to show a desire. You have to have the free will to want to choose me. And then I can start bending the rules to make conditions to bring you to me. But if you don't want to come to me, I can't. Because I have to leave you that independence because it's not love if you don't choose. But without your slightest intention, how could I bend the rules? That would have not been love. It would have been a flawed wrongdoing. Krishna will never rob the soul of its autonomy. Love must be given, not taken. So Sanatana Goswami continues, speaking as God is speaking. Realizing my own lack of mercy, I became restless, anxious as to how I could obtain your mercy and bring you to me. So Krishna is looking at us and saying, will you have mercy on me and come back to me? He loves us so much. Just as a parent loves his child, if the parent runs away and the child turns away, when will you come back to me? When will you be kind and come back to me? Even though they haven't called you in years, except when they want money. So we go to church, oh God, give me money. Yeah, something like that. I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take birth in the sacred land of Govardhan, and I, my dear child, became your guru known as Jayanta. So what is he saying is, he's saying, once you made that decision that you wanted me, at that point, now I could start playing with the rules and bending them because I wanted you to come to me, so I arranged you would take birth in Govardhan, and I arranged that you would have a guru. Now, how does this relate to us who didn't take birth in Govardhan? Just think about your life. For all of us who are here, who are devotees of Krishna, or thinking about it, or devotees of God, who have come to God, how did that happen? Look at your life. Look at all the events in your life that brought you. Who made that arrangement? Who made that arrangement? How did Krishna know what you needed? He gave us exactly what we needed. Every experience in our life was there to bring us. And I think we all know that. I needed this experience, the good one, the bad one, everything. Isn't it? Hare Krishna. So Krishna could only do that once we said, Krishna, I want you. And he said, okay. Now we can work on you, because I want you back more than even you want to go back. I'm going to start moving your life to bring you to me. That's what he does. That's Krishna's love. If we say Krishna doesn't love us, that's insane, because he was the one who arranged everything to come to him. Yes? Hare Krishna. This is not mere divine intervention. It is divine desperation, a love so fierce, so unstoppable that it finds a way even while honoring the soul's freedom. So Krishna doesn't interfere with our freedom. He just puts us in situations where we will desire him. You know, suffering, pain. I was thinking today, what if I lived in Maui on the beach in a mansion, had the most, had unlimited money, had everything I wanted? And Krishna is saying, it's the suffering of this world that pushes you to me. How would I ever push myself to Krishna if there wasn't suffering? We all need suffering. Krishna says, this world is a place of suffering. How will I know that living on my beach house in Maui? Well, maybe I'll go surfing and get smashed on the coral. Yeah, then I'll know. Yeah, that's happened to me before. Yeah, yeah. When I was younger. Yeah. So that suffering comes in just a kind of package that we need. Krishna doesn't want us to suffer, but sometimes we need it. So he just gives us enough. So we say, God, please help me. And the most foolish thing I think we can do is, when he does that, run away from him, saying, God, I don't believe in you. You caused me to suffer. No. He caused that suffering to bring you closer. We should always understand that. Yes. So God creates conditions so that our choice to go to him, to love him, becomes stronger. That's what he's doing for us. And so if you look at your life and you see these conditions he's created, don't run away from them. He's doing that to bring you for him. And then sometimes we doubt, God, why did you do that? The answer is always, to bring you to me. That's why I did it. Or the answer is, because you did something stupid. You know, it's like people go to the deity. You know, I want to make a little video. People go, oh, God, please, health. I have health issues, you know. And the deity speaks, stop eating that oil and sweets and white flour and all that sugar, you know. That's, you know, like it's his responsibility. Like, I'm supposed to eat junk food for the rest of my life, and he's going to make me healthy. So, you know, God doesn't like me because I'm not healthy. Yeah, maybe you could change your diet. Just saying. So now, this is what Krishna is saying. Today you have fulfilled the longing I have held in my heart for so long. Please nourish my happiness and mind by staying here forever. In other words, thank you for coming. I wanted you. I was praying for you. This was what I've always looking for. It is so beautiful doing bhakti to think that Krishna actually wants me and he's waiting for me. So many times when I'm chanting japa, I'm thinking, I better chant good japa because Krishna's waiting and he doesn't want me to wait another life. I better do my bhakti, my devotion, properly so I can develop love, because that's what he wants and he's waiting. One time I spoke to a man. He said, my life is amazing. Why do I have to go back to God? You know, I've done so many good things. My karma is so good. I'll just come back and have good karma. He had no idea, and I said, Krishna inspired me. I said, because Krishna wants you back there. And he went, oh my God, I never thought of that. Everything's good here, I'm happy. Yeah, but Krishna's not happy that you're not there. He, you know, it doesn't matter that you're happier. He wants you there. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Krishna says, my heart is drawn by your grace. We're only on page 3 of 15 pages. I realize this has to be a whole seminar. This is like Hare Krishna. Anyway, we're getting the essence here. Yeah. Yeah. At least 6 hours, like,
Yeah. My heart is drawn by your grace. It is by my great fortune that you remembered me.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Krishna is feeling indebted. And by my great fortune that I can see you now after so long, I am completely dependent on you. Please enjoy here with me however you wish. In other words, don't leave me. You know, it's like my lost son and daughter has come back. That's how Krishna sees us. Again, my dear devotees, don't see yourself as someone with faults who's not capable of having a loving relationship. See yourself like this. This is how Krishna sees you. See yourself this way. And then you feel indebted to Krishna. So, Jiva Goswami commenting on a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where it said, Krishna says, if you just offer me something small like a tulsi leaf, tulsi leaf is very dear to Krishna, I become I place myself under you, I become controlled by you. When you offer something with love, I become controlled by you. And then Jiva Goswami says, Vikrinite Swa Atmanam, which means God sells his very self to such a devotee. Krishna is not controlled by love, he's owned by love. So you just bought me. You offer a little something. Krishna is so controlled by love. You offer something with a little devotion. He says, now you own me. I'm completely like, you're like, I'm a puppet in your hands kind of thing. When Draupadi cried, Draupadi was in danger. She was crying to God, to Krishna, please save me, I can't save myself. And Krishna said, the cry of yours has created an ever-increasing debt that does not leave my heart. Just her dependence on Krishna, crying with love for help. I'm eternally indebted to you just for that. So this is Krishna's heart. You offer a little something in devotion, and Krishna becomes controlled by that love. Now it gets really hip. You haven't seen, if you thought this was good, you haven't seen anything yet. This goes to the next level. This is amazing. You want to hear it? This is amazing. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, after giving his very self to a devotee, Krishna still feels atriptam. Atriptam means satisfied, so atriptam means unsatisfied. Krishna says, let me be purified by the dust of my devotee's feet. He prays to atone for his failures to fully reciprocate with their love. So God himself feels I cannot reciprocate with the love of my devotees. Even the devotee offers something simple. That love melts his heart so much, he's so much captured by it that he feels, please excuse me, I cannot reciprocate. And we know that when a devotee loves Krishna, Krishna apologizes to that devotee and said, I wish I could repay you, even though I'm God and I'm all powerful. I'm not powerful enough to reciprocate with your love because I feel the love you have given me is so much greater. That's how he feels. Whether it's true or not, that's how he feels. So this last thing we read is from a commentary by Jiva Goswami. Listen to Ramanuja. Ramanuja is a great spiritual master in a different line of ours, but similar. Commenting on Bhagavad Gita 9.2, he says, even then, Krishna says, after giving myself to the devotee, it appears to me that I've done nothing for a devotee. So Krishna gives himself and he feels, this is like nothing. I need to give more. Wow, is that amazing? I mean, that's how the devotee feels. But we never thought that God feels that way also. What can I do for God? He's so great. And God feels, what can I do for my devotee? He has so much love for me.
Jiva Goswami says, because divine love is attractive to Krishna, Krishna is called Prema Bhajam. Anyone have ever heard this word? Prema, not Bhajan, Prema Bhajam. Prema Bhajan means addicted to the love found in his devotee's heart. So God is a love addict. You know, he might need to go to a 12-step program, right? He's totally controlled by love. The love of his devotee completely melts him.
Wow.
Prema means love, bhajan, addicted. This is, God is made of love. He only knows. It's not like he has to give love. It's what he is. It's not something he does once in a while. He is love. That's just, it's always given. It's not like given and not given. That's just what he is. So Ramanuja, paraphrasing this verse, says, this person considers me to be the highest and finds it impossible to live without me. I too find it impossible to live without him. Therefore, he is my very self. So there's a merging between God and the devotee where there's so much love. It's like, who's loving who? It's like, I feel him to be myself. It's difficult to describe. So then, some of you know this verse. There's a story, a great king. There was an attempt on his life, Ambarish. And God came, Krishna came to protect him. And the person who tried to kill him was like bewildered. Like, what's going on? Why did this happen? Why did you protect him? And he said, my devotee resides in my heart, and I live in their heart. My devotee lives in my heart, and I live in their heart. They know no one but me, and I know no one but them. It's two ways. It's not one way. It's not that you're trying to serve Krishna thinking, oh, I'm giving everything to Krishna, what's he doing for me? Yes. Yeah. Okay, I want to get to something that's like Hare Krishna. Yes. I can't find it. Uh-oh. I thought I had put it all here. Anyway, somehow, okay, we'll go from memory. So, Krishna, as we're saying here, he's feeling that I cannot love my devotee enough. And Krishna's anxiety is to offer his devotee more love and devotion, more affection. So when Gop Kumar went to the spiritual world, Krishna started taking off his jewelry and putting it on Gop Kumar, taking off his turban, taking off his sash, and dressing him. Just so much affection, so much affection. And then he brings Gop Kumar and he says, come, take lunch with me. He said, you know, he has to dress him up. You're a coward boy. You're one with us. You've made it back. I just want to give you everything. And then they sit down and they eat prasadam. And Radharani, Krishna's lover, had cooked. And nobody can cook like Radharani. And so Krishna's eating, and he eats a sweet ball. And Radharani is always looking, does it taste good? And Krishna takes a sweet ball and goes, this is the worst sweet ball I've ever eaten. This is horrible. And he says, Gop Kumar, you take it. I can't eat this. Gop Kumar eats it, practically faints. He never tasted anything like it. So anyway, class is over now. But there's so many, in this Leela, there's so many examples of Krishna trying and feeling that he's failing to love Gop Kumar, show him love, and expressing that And the Acharya is expressing that all Krishna wants to do is show love to his devotees and tell his devotees, like he tells the gopis, I can't love you like you love me. And what is so amazing about being a devotee is that the devotee experiences greater love for Krishna than Krishna even experiences for the devotee. So the devotee, Shastra says, the devotee experiences greater happiness than God himself. Put that on your wall, tattoo it on your arm, whatever. The devotee experiences greater love and happiness than Krishna. Anytime you're thinking you can enjoy this material world and squeeze some pleasure out of it, just remember, the devotee enjoys greater happiness than Krishna. Wow. To be continued. We only got to page... Well, no. Ah. We got to page 8, but I skipped around. But I think I got the essence. What I would like to remind you of, if you can remember this affection that Krishna has, and feel it, allow yourself to feel it, because it, as I said in the beginning, it doesn't work if you just understand it. Allow yourself to feel this, because that's where everything happens, and when you feel it, your japa will go through the roof, because when you feel his love, then you want to reciprocate through the holy name. And everything in bhakti is about bhakti. It's about love and devotion. And you can offer that love and devotion with every mantra. Every mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's our opportunity to show our bhakti to Krishna through every mantra, isn't it? Krishna, let me love you like you love me. Let me reciprocate. There's something wrong with this relationship. You love me, I don't love you. This is not good. This class is really a class on japa, ultimately. Because if you apply this to your japa, then it's not, I have to finish my rounds, schnick, schnick, mom, mom, and all that. It's like, Krishna, I can try to reciprocate with this infinite love and enter this loving reciprocation. This is what he wants. He doesn't want schnick, schnick, mom, mom, 16 rounds. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you're focused on how many rounds left, how much time, that's namaparad, because it's a relationship. Just, you know, it's just a loving relationship, singing his name and opening our heart, and yes, that's everything. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Taigo Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.
Maybe we'll do this in Vrindavan. Maybe I'll get into it in Vrindavan.
Yeah, it would be amazing to like have a day to chant japa with. Maybe you have 15 pages and divide it into one day to break it up into like sessions.
Do you want anything with this Vrindavan?
I did the black stamp and then.